troubles are looming for Australia's housing market, but this time it's not about negative gearing, at least not on the surface. According to CoreLogic RP data figures, over 230,000 apartments are expected to be built in the next 2 years in Australia. And that glut of units has seen Macquarie Bank list almost 50 postcodes across the country as risky for apartment buyers, with Macquarie predicting falling prices as supply exceeds demand. Every capital city except Canberra is on the list. But John Cunningham from the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales says he's not concerned.
We are facing a population growth, of significant population growth, probably across Australia in the next, each year, of over 100,000 people, maybe closer to 150,000 people. So having 250,000 apartments come online is not something that we would be overly concerned about, because all it's doing is filling in the gaps that are already there.
So why do you think Macquarie Bank has said that there are about 50 postcodes that are risky in terms of investments for apartment buyers?
The main reason Macquarie have taken that view is that they've done the analytics on specific postcodes and can see where the specific oversupply might occur. So when you look at a national view or down to a more micro level, then you can see where the problems can lie. So they're taking a view that, okay, there is some risk factors involved in certain areas of Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane and Perth, for example, where there's excessive development in certain areas, because that's where the zoning permits those developments to take place. But when you spread it across the national picture, it's much, much different.
So how does this glut marry with statements coming from the Real Estate Institute nationally that the current high house prices are due to a lack of supply on the market, when these reports are saying there's going to be a glut?
Well, they're talking about a glut in specific areas. And the interesting thing is that the supply has to keep up with the demand. And that's something that didn't really come out that clearly in that report. They were very much looking at risk-based suburbs as opposed to looking at the overall picture. So when you look at risk-based suburbs, there is definitely risk, because they're basically saying that supply is outstripping the demand in those particular areas. When, again, you look at that whole macro level, it's quite a different picture.
Well, they have listed pretty much every single capital city in Australia as under that list of risky postcodes.
They have, absolutely. And those postcodes come down to, where is that supply? There are certain postcodes where it's grossly undersupplied, and that's the other side of the story that's not reported. Now, clearly, you've got to make sure when you're looking at those sort of developments that they're appropriate developments, because quite frankly, a lot just aren't appropriate. They're just building them in areas where it's permitted, where it's zoned. It's not necessarily the areas where the demand is strong. So I think the concept of build them and they will come is basically flawed. I think the Institute is definitely in favour of appropriate development in the right locations where the demand is, because the last thing we want is an oversupply of property, and then that's when you have issues in terms of price corrections in the marketplace. We very much prefer it steady as she goes, where you've got town planning matching consumer needs. And unfortunately these days, the planning elements are fairly lacking, and that's where the real problem lies.
Do you think this has to do with foreign investment being allowed to sort of run rampant, particularly in capital cities, in terms of building apartments, especially student accommodation?
It is definitely part of the issue. I think that obviously for a developer to fulfil their obligations to their shareholders or whatever it may be to ensure that property gets sold, opening the doors to foreign investors is a very, very easy option. And I think that is problematic in many, many ways. We are seeing a lot of vacant properties, which is not healthy for the economy. So I think definitely this needs to be looked at, and it needs to be looked at in a cohesive sort of integrated plan from each state to say, how are we actually going to deal with the housing situation, particularly when this reflects on affordability and first home buyers. All these things must come into play, and unfortunately then it's not. It's just, I think there's a lot of band-aiding going on instead of looking at an overall solution, and to me it starts with planning.
So if there is an apartment glut in particularly inner city Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane, and prices drop, what kind of knock-on effect could that have across the housing market and across the economy?
Look, it's an interesting dynamic when you do have it, and sometimes it flows on when it starts to be a bit of a flood happening. When you've got minor corrections over a long-term investment, those things are easily absorbed. It's about how much leverage, how much gearing investors have put into these properties, or particularly owner-occupiers, is more of a concern. When interest rates are low, everyone's saying, okay, this is a manageable situation. It is linked to interest rates. It's linked to whether there's more supply coming online in those areas that are oversupplied. That's when the serious issues occur. They tend to have a knock-on effect locally, not so much in a macro sense, because markets are very much determined on a micro area. That's how they work. The macro market takes a fair bit to get knocked, and that gets knocked by confidence. And when you play around with confidence and sentiment, that's when you get that sort of flow through. It becomes a bit cancerous across the marketplace.
There is a view that the Australian housing market is one of the most overvalued and unaffordable in the Western world. So could this actually be a good thing in terms of the bigger picture of housing affordability here in Australia?
Look, that's an interesting question, and I think there's certainly a fair bit of truth in that. What measures do we need to put in place to correct the home affordability issue? Number one measure, in our view, is supply. It's about our appropriate supply. So if you do have these oversupply issues in certain areas, is that a positive thing for first-home buyers? Potentially. That could be the knock-on effect. It just depends on whether people who are forced out of areas that they can't afford to live in, or there isn't the supply in those areas, are going to be moving into those areas that are oversupplied, and therefore what we think is an issue in the next year or two may not be an issue at all.
The uninterrupted growth of the housing market in Australia has been compared or likened to a Ponzi scheme. If this is an interruption to that growth model, is that basically a bursting of the housing bubble?
I don't believe it's a bursting. I think certainly I don't see a bubble. Now, the difference between a bubble is quite interesting when you look at various bubble bursts across the history and even in recent years, and you take Ireland as probably the most extreme example. We've got a situation where affordability-wise, we've just gone through one of the biggest booms that we've had in the last two decades. And whenever you have that situation where you come off the top of a boom, people say, is this bubble going to burst? Now, if we had serious oversupply issues like they've had in the States and in Europe and Spain particularly, then yes, you would have that situation occur. But the gap between affordability in terms of where interest rates are and where affordability indexes are, if we see a steady marketplace for the next year or two or three, which I would hope that we're going to see, then without a doubt there's not going to be any bubble bursting. It's the bubble problem in particularly areas like Sydney, because there is no supply coming onto the market in established areas where people want to live, and therefore the supply situation with extremely high demand continues to put pressure on prices. So it's an interesting set of dynamics that these little micro markets have an impact all the way through. Other parts of Sydney, other parts of Melbourne and parts of Brisbane are in reverse of that. They're actually seeing prices already drop. And that's a stabilisation or a correction of an inflated market. That's normal. That happened in 2010. It happened in 2004. And I could go back in history and see all those corrections. Unlike other countries, ours are never massive corrections. I mean, the biggest correction we've seen is about 5 or 6% in a year, and probably 10% over a 2 or 3 year period. So we're not going to see that, because our demand and population growth is still factoring on the other side of the equation.
Well, I guess we're going to see how that pans out over the next couple of years. That's John Cunningham, President of the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales.